Entertainment here. And we're going to be taking a listen tonight to something that I was reminded existed. I had a very interesting conversation not too long ago where somebody had forgotten that Horatio Hornblower exists. He does indeed. And he served as a literary inspiration for a lot of genre fiction in the 20th century, although he is a figure from the 19th century. And it just so happens that on a whim and a prayer, I took a look, and lo and behold, there is a radio drama series involving Horatio Hornblower that is in the public domain and that hasn't been played in far too long. And we're going to remedy that here tonight. We're going to round that off the hour then afterwards with a new episode of Suspense to Kill a Mandarin. That's coming up right now, so let's sit back, relax, and enjoy some spoken word entertainment here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Forget the 4th of July.
On the 6th of July, Catalano Street Party returns to West 4th Avenue. This one's dedicated to all the
9 to 5, 5 to 9 hot slots. Join us on Saturday, July 6th, from Burrard to McDonald for a free day of music, food, beer gardens, and more, featuring over 50 bands on 7 stages, including Devours, BB, Hey Ocean, Tanya Aganaba, Little Destroyer, and Missy D.
The Catalano Street Party, Saturday, July 6th. For more information and the complete lineup, visit catalano.com. It ain't over till we get it, yeah. We keep us that day, yeah. It goes roots, rock and reggae. I rock, rap is that day. Missy D on the mic controller. Thought it was impossible to see this rapper thinking minutes. I got the fingers on my mind. I can't
Girls Rock Camp Vancouver is proud to present the 2019 Showcase.
Featuring 8 camper bands who wrote and learned their songs all in 1 week, with special bands Primp and Biawana.
Come down to the Wise Hall Saturday, July 13th. Doors at 12:30 p.m., show at 1 p.m.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band, swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
Call all hands. Beat to quarters. Run out the guns. Stand by the starboard battery.
One broadside into it, if you please, Captain Bush.
Pointers on target. Linstock's ready.
Aye, aye, sir. Ready.
Fire!
Presenting Michael Redgrave as C.S. Forrester's Indomitable Man of the Sea, Horatio Hornblower.
Thank you.
rather hectic days, just after we came limping into the British naval station at Jamaica. Our first Lieutenant Bush, lying in hospital ashore, riddled with Spanish sword cuts from the prisoners who'd risen against us. Our new captain, Buckland, under a grievous shadow for his laxity on the night of the insurrection. And many of our crewmen still recovering from wounds. It seemed for a time as though nothing would come right. Even our three Spanish prize ships, bagged in Haiti, served but little to lift the spirits of our ship's company. And then, one sunny morning, to add to our confusion, we had our first notice of an important change impending.
Mr. Hornblower, sir. Is Captain Buckland still ashore?
Yes, Mr. James.
Boats come alongside, sir, from shore.
What boat?
Uniform of Captain's rank aboard.
Well, very well, Midshipman James. No need for undue excitement, is there? Order up the boatswain's mates at once, if you please, and side boys and marine guard, too. Don't forget. We'll pipe him aboard with all due honors.
Yes, sir. I'll call him at once. Boatswain's mate, top five and lively. Lieutenant Hornblower, holding all tight.
The shore boat fastened alongside, and sure enough, through the entry port emerged a captain, his gold lace flaming in the tropic sunshine. I touched my hat respectfully.
You are at present the senior lieutenant on board the ship?
Yes, sir. Lieutenant Horatio Hornblower, at your service, sir.
My name is Cogshill, sir. And here I have a paper I'm required to read to you. Orders from Sir Richard Lambert, Vice Admiral of the Blue Knight of the Bath, commanding His Majesty's ships and vessels on the Jamaica station, to Captain James Edward Cogshill of His Majesty's ship Buckler. You are hereby requested and required to repair immediately on board His Majesty's ship Renown, now lying in Port Royal Bay, and to take command pro tempore of the aforesaid ship Renown. Well, Mr. Hornblower, now you know.
Yes, sir.
As you must be well aware, no orders I might give aboard this ship would be legal unless I had read aloud my authority.
Yes, sir.
So it goes in the King's Navy. So it goes.
Well, welcome aboard, sir. We're only a little surprised, I suppose. But you see, sir, none of us had heard.
Yes, I understand.
Well, sir, it's only that, Lieutenant Buckland had succeeded our deceased Captain Sawyer some weeks ago, and so he was now Captain Buckland, naturally.
Naturally.
Would you have any idea, sir, what they might have in mind for him?
Not an idea in the world, Lieutenant Hornblower. Oh. He may revert to his first lieutenancy here on the Renown, of course. I couldn't be sure.
Yes, sir. Well, then there's Lieutenant Bush, who's lying in hospital ashore. Mr. Bush had succeeded him, Captain Buckland, you see, and I'm only temporarily replacing Bush.
Yeah. Well, you have been a bit disorganized, eh?
Yes, sir.
There's always confusion at times like these. We'll see. Things will be straightened out, I'm sure. But I couldn't possibly guess, Hornblower, what Sir Richard might have in mind.
No, sir.
Yes, well, I do have one interesting piece of news, however. The Admiral is taking the first of your prize ships into the Royal Navy.
Sir?
What's her name?
The Gaditana, sir. She's the largest one.
The Gaditana, yes, that's it. Captured from the Spaniards at Samana, eh?
Yes, I was aboard of her, sir, when our prisoners revolted.
Well, Sir Richard likes her looks, it seems. He's renaming her the Retribution.
Retribution?
So someone will have to be promoted to command her. Well, as I say, we'll see. Things will be straightened out in their own time. It's the Navy way.
That afternoon, I had my first opportunity to go ashore. I made my way at once to Kingston Naval Hospital, where Bush still lay abed nursing his wounds. I knew he'd be thirsting for news of us, and now I had something to tell him.
Hornblower.
Bush?
Oh, I say, it is good of you to come.
I've tried to ever since we sent you ashore in that stretcher. This is the first chance I've had to leave the Renown. You can guess how busy I've been.
Well, can't I just... I've been following everything you've had to do with my mind's eye. Completing Renown again with powder and shot, food and water.
That's it.
Cleaning up after the prisoners. Getting rid of the traces of that cursed battle on deck. I'm surprised you look so healthy, old lad. What's in that basket?
Oh, pawpaws, mangoes, and a pineapple. Do you know that's only the second pineapple I've ever seen in my life?
Oh, thank you. It's very kind of you. You know, I owe you thanks for much more than...
Oh, Bush, I say, we've got a new captain.
What?
Cogshill, transferred from the Buckler. Came aboard this morning, read himself in with a flourish. No wonder. Promotion to a ship of the line from a 28-gun frigate. Well, quite a step.
Oh, poor Buckland. I don't suppose he'll ever live down being taken by those prisoners asleep in his bed.
Yes, I'm afraid he can't look for promotion. They may not even discipline him in any obvious way, I mean, but... Well, he'd just simply be passed over the rest of his Navy life.
You know, I've been thinking, lying here, it really doesn't seem quite fair. It was only my good luck I wakened up in time the night of the rising.
You've got plenty of sword cuts. Call it good luck if you like. You fought till you fell unconscious.
Oh, Buckland would have done the same had the opportunity been granted.
Oh, yes, probably. Well, Bush, I've been long enough in the service to think that fortune's more capricious here than in other walks of life. Don't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, I've got another piece of news.
Oh, good. I'm glad of any gossip in this place.
Yes, our prize, the Gaditana, is being commissioned into the Navy.
Now, is she by George?
Yes, 18 guns, 6 pounders and nines. She'll rate as a sloop of war, and she's to be renamed the Retribution.
Oh, so the Admiral will have to promote a commander for her.
Uh-huh.
Nice berth for somebody, eh?
Yes, well, it might have been Buckland, if only...
Well, it still might be, of course, if they don't give much weight to his being caught napping.
As our brand new captain is fond of remarking, I wouldn't attempt to guess. Of course, they can always... Hello, who's this?
Come in.
Well, 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 Mr. Bush, and how are we feeling, eh? Oh, we have company.
Hornblower, this is Surgeon Sankey, head of the hospital.
I'm happy to meet you, sir.
Oh, I've heard of Lieutenant Hornblower. Not from Mr. Bush alone. Delighted to see you, Mr. Hornblower.
Thank you, sir.
You made quite a name for yourself, I gather, during that Haiti campaign.
I don't know about that.
Our patient here adores you.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Doctor.
I don't look so worried, Mr. Bush. We shan't embarrass Mr. Hornblower. Well, sir, I bring news that's bound to interest you.
Oh?
I've just received a visit from an Admiralty aide. It seems the gold braid of the station awaits your recovery with impatience, Mr. Bush. A court of inquiry is to be convened.
A court of inquiry?
Yes. Of course, man. What did you expect? And it's only a court of inquiry. After all, it's not a court martial. Anyone? I think they want to sift the facts of some of the doings aboard your ship.
I thought by now they might have changed their minds.
Ah, then it's news to you too, is it, Mr. Hornblower?
Well, yes, in a way.
After all, some strange things did transpire. Am I not right? At least that's what station rumor indicates. Your Spanish prisoners rising in the middle of the night, taking the ship against almost no resistance. Would have taken it, I've been told, had it not been for the fortunate advent.
Station scuttlebutt is never very reliable, Dr.
Anyway, Mr. Bush, I was pressed to declare when you might be ready to make an appearance. So now, let's have a look at you, eh?
No.
Then I must send word to the Admiral.
Yes, but
Oh, but I promised, Mr. Bush.
Oh, good Lord.
You're a fortunate man, you know. These are all incised wounds. Let me just pull back the sheet a little further. Yes, yes, it's contrary to all my professional experience. Usually the Spanish can be relied on to use their knives far more effectively. Mr. Holder?
Yes, Doctor?
Just look at this cut here. 8 inches long, at least, and yet not more than 2 inches deep. 4 inches with the point would have been better. The effort of a tyro, I dread. Remember, Mr. Hornblower, the next time you use a knife, to give an upward inclination to the point. Far more effective.
I see, thank you.
Mere superficial laceration in this instance. The human ribs lie open to welcome an upward thrust. Before a downward thrust, they overlap and forbid all entrance. Turn over, please. Yes. See this? Here, the descending knife again bounded in vain from one rib to the next.
Oh, I'm glad.
Each cut is healing very well now. No sign of mortification, Mr. Hornblower? 2 days ago, I wasn't sure. Not in the least. Yes, these are most clean cuts, fortunately. Bend this knee, if you please.
Your honorable scars, Mr. Bush, will almost disappear in a few years.
Well, good.
Yes, here's tomorrow. I shall remove the sutures.
You will observe that Mr. Bush is still a trifle weak.
Is he? I wasn't certain.
He was entirely exsanguinated by his wound.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, drained of his blood, I mean, of course.
Oh.
But if the court of inquiry will but indulge him with a chair when he gives evidence.
Oh, but I don't think I'll be ready for a while yet, Sergeant.
Oh, nonsense. You're doing splendidly. In 3 days' time, you will be quite prepared to answer any questions, Mr. Bush. I'm very rushed. Let me see now. That will be Friday, will it not?
Friday.
After all, to assemble a court on this station is not easy when every ship is absent on necessary duty so much of the time. Very happy with the progress you're making, Mr. Bush. I shall inform the Admiral of it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Did I tell you the court will be convened aboard your own vessel, the Renown? Your new captain himself is named a member of the board. We'll see you get there, Mr. Bush. Well, now, continued progress to you, sir. See you tomorrow. Yes, indeed. It's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Hombler.
Goodbye, Doctor. Oh, after all that, I do feel like a crazy quilt. One sewn by hand.
Yes, Bush, I can see why.
Court of inquiry, eh?
Oh, I hope they might forget about it. Poor Buckland. Doomed to remain an aging first lieutenant, I'm afraid.
Nothing worse.
If nothing worse. Well, I must get back to the ship. Hope I haven't tired you out.
Oh, of course you haven't. Only the magpie chatter of that old gossip Sankey.
All right. It was good of you to come home, though.
That was nothing. Well, see you Friday, Bush, if I take it.
Yes, of course.
Friday.
We'll both be witnesses, I suppose. I'm going to do the best I can for old Buckland. We may have had our disagreements, he and I, but, well. I'll see you Friday, Bush. Good luck.
Surgeon Sankey was right. Lieutenant Bush, though still a bit weak, was able to be about by Friday and to hobble aboard our ship, together with an impressive array of other officers, all captains, named by the Admiral to make up the board. A court of inquiry, I found, was not so awe-inspiring as a court-martial, yet it seemed formidable enough.
Please take a seat, Mr. Bush. I understand you're still weak from your wounds.
Oh, only a little, sir.
We've read the report which you addressed to Captain Buckland following the attack on Samana Bay in Haiti. This report is a great credit, Mr. Bush.
Credit should be given to Lieutenant Hornblower, sir. It was his plan we used in our attack on the Spanish fortress.
So you were very handsomely say in your report, sir. I may as well state here and now that in the opinion of this court, all the circumstances surrounding the attack at Samana and the subsequent capitulation of the enemy are in accord with the best traditions of the service.
Thank you, sir.
But now we come to the next matter. The attempt of your prisoners to capture the Renown at sea. You were by this time acting as first lieutenant of the ship,
Step by step, Bush was taken through the bloody events of that recent night. The difficulty of supervising the women prisoners, the marine guard kept at the hatches night and day, the sudden, unexplained outpouring in the dead of night, only a few hours before we were due at Jamaica.
Careful, what you've got. Naturally, I do recall that Lieutenant Hornblower had expressed his doubts about the women prisoners some days before.
Indeed.
Oh, why, yes, sir. In fact, he'd been concerned about the whole situation of the prisoners, sir. On several occasions, he'd said...
Poor Bush. I could have strangled him. Out of some mistaken sense of loyalty to me, he was destroying, one by one, Buckland's few last remaining claims to their indulgence. I made up my mind then and there to help Buckland in any way I could, even to lie, if necessary, when my turn came.
And, of course, you were found among the dead after rebellion was suppressed. Unconscious from your wounds.
Well, yes, sir, but I...
Very well, thank you, Mr. Bush, that will be all. Call Lieutenant Hornblower. He's the next witness before this court. Lieutenant Hornblower? Please come forward, Mr. Hornblower.
I'm here, sir.
Across at him as I came forward before the court of inquiry. I felt anything but reassured. The man was pale and desperately unhappy, I could see it. What could I do to help his cause, I wondered.
Suggested, Mr. Hornblower, that the attack on the fort at Samana Bay, as well as the hoisting up of the gun to search the bay, were on your initiative.
I can't think why that suggestion was made, sir. Mr. Buckland, Captain Buckland, bore the entire responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Well, I won't press you further about that then, Mr. Hornblower. We understand, I think. Now, let us hear about your recapture of the Renown the other night. You were aboard the Gaetana, I'm informed. What first attracted your attention?
I heard musket fire, sir, so I collected the prize crews and set out for the Renown.
Were you not afraid of losing the prizes, Mr. Hornblower?
No, sir. Not with every sheet and halyard cut before I left.
Quite. Well, you seem to have thought of everything, Lieutenant. Also, you seem to have made a very prompt counterattack on the Renown. Yet, for all you knew, the attempt of the prisoners to take the ship might have already failed.
Well, in that case, no harm was done except the disabling of the prize ship's rigging, sir. Of course, I knew that Captain Buckland, provided no accident had befallen him, would have skillfully organized resistance. In fact, that he would immediately...
Yes. Unhappily, an accident did befall him. Well... We understand. Tell me, Mr. Hornblower, how did it happen that you were transferred to the Gaetana?
Well, it seemed feasible, sir, to organize a better disposition of the prize ships. We were only a day away from Jamaica by then.
I see. And is it true that you had several times expressed concern as to the intentions of the women prisoners?
No more concern than was felt, I'm sure, by Captain Buckland.
Mm. Well, thank you, Mr. Hornblower. Thank you. That will be all.
The inquiry was over. The court's official findings placed no blame, recommending only that strict inquiry should still be made among the Spanish prisoners in an effort to discover who had led them in the revolt. Yet it was clear in every tone of voice and in every face that Buckland was to be made to suffer. Unofficially.
It isn't fair, I tell you, Bush. It simply isn't fair.
Not so loud, my friend. All those captains are still aboard.
Yeah. I don't care. They didn't dare to say to his face that they found him guilty, but still they want him to pay. That's obvious in every word they said. Ye gods, if I were Buckland, I would...
Oh, speak lower, will you? A court's a court. Getting yourself in trouble isn't going to help Buckland one bit.
Oh, but did you see his face, Bush, when they walked past him? Walked past him without so much as a glance. He's utterly miserable.
Yes, but you did everything you could. I noticed that. All right. Buckland's hopes are at an end. Can't help it.
His hopes must have risen mightily after our success at Samana, Bush. I can't help thinking of that. Well, with that to his credit and a temporary captaincy, he must have felt promotion in the air to commander, at least, if not to permanent captain, and then to have everything snatched away.
Hornblower, this isn't like you. Be realistic. Consider the man. For him, there was no other outcome possible. Be honest. Isn't that the truth?
Well, if it is, I don't want to admit it.
Here comes Captain Coxhill.
Well, gentlemen, a bit cooler as the sun goes down, you've noticed?
Yes, Captain Coxhill.
This is much better than the hospital. Up there, the island heat closes around you like warm water in a bath.
Glad to have you aboard, Mr. Bush. Surgeon Sankey has given me good word of your progress.
Oh, thank you, sir. I'll be happier when I'm released and back aboard the Renown for good.
Oh, I hope you will at least remain on board to have dinner with me.
Oh. I'd be delighted, sir.
Mr. Hornblower, you too.
Thank you, sir.
And I shall hope to secure the presence of Lieutenants Buckland and Grayson.
Oh, with much pleasure, sir.
Good. In 15 minutes' time, then, as soon as I've seen the assembled captains to their gigs, that will be excellent.
Our new captain was a courtly host. There were flowers in the great cabin now. The food was excellent. Seated next to the silent Buckland, I grasped at trivialities to keep the conversation going, and I was grateful for Captain Coghill's loquacious appreciation of his own table.
Ah, that is a land crab salad before you, gentlemen. Coconut-fed land crab. Some prefer it to dairy-fed pork, you know. Mr. Hornblower, Perhaps you will serve it to those who would care for some.
With pleasure, son.
And with it a saddle of fresh lamb. Oh, sheep do badly in these islands, I'm told. But perhaps we should try it. Mr. Buckland, will you be kind enough to carve?
With pleasure, sir.
Ah, you see, gentlemen, we still have some real potatoes left. One does grow weary of yams. Mr. Hornblower, will you take wine?
Oh, thank you, sir, yes.
And you other gentlemen, Mr. Grayson?
Thank you.
Yes. Excellent, excellent. Conviviality is most needful on occasions such as this. Mr. Bush, to your speedy recovery, sir. Oh,
thank you, Captain. Thank you very much, sir. Oh, how good that tastes.
Careful, Bush, didn't the doctors warn you about overindulgence?
I don't remember a word of it tonight, I assure you, Hornblower.
Now, contemplate this steaming dish which has just been laid before us. Any of you gentlemen who have served on this station before will recognize it, I think. Hmm? A West Indian pepper pot. Mr. Hornblower, will you make your first essay? Come in. Well?
I'm sent by the Admiral, sir.
Oh, I should have known, of course, Midshipman. I fear on no other staff would you look quite so smartly turned out. What's the message?
The Admiral's compliment, sir, and he'd like Mr. Hornblower's presence on board the flagship as soon as it is convenient.
Flagship, eh? And dinner not halfway finished. Oh, this is too bad.
I'd better go, sir, if I may. May I have a boat, sir?
Pardon me, sir. The Admiral said the boat which brought me should convey you to the flagship.
Well, that settles it. We'll save some of this pepper pot for you against your return. We'll have the brandy out by that time, too, eh? Yes, but you'd better go, Mr. Hornblower.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Now, what in the world do you suppose the Admiral can want with Hornblower, eh?
I was gone nearly an hour. When I returned, I saw at once that the wine had been passed very generously, followed by Dutch and Swedish liqueurs, and together with brandy smuggled from France. Bush sat in a thoroughly happy glow. And there was a strained look on Buckland's white face as he peered at me in the doorway.
Well, there you are at last, Mr. Hornblower. Come in, man. Come in. Yes, sit down. The toast is just beginning. Now, Mr. Bush, eh? It's your turn. Bush.
The victorious war. Oceans of gore. Prizes of gore. A beauty assured.
Excellent, Mr. Bush. Drink fair, Mr. Hornblower. We have a start of you already. And a stern chase is a long chase. Mr. Buckland?
Jollity and... Mirth, sir.
Jollity. Mirth. Well done. You've come back from the Admiral, Mr. Hornblower.
Yes, sir.
And is all well?
I think so, sir. He's made me commander of the Retribution, sir.
Oh, my God! I bless my soul! The Retribution, your own prize. Then that is our newest toast, gentlemen.
Thanks.
To the new commander. Yes. With a cheer.
Oh, I'm so glad, Hornblower. It's simply wonderful. Why,
Mr. Buckland, you...
Curse you. Curse you, Hornblower.
Now, Mr. Buckland.
Haven't I endured enough today without this too? Years in the service, working, slaving. Do you know what that's like? You with your easy successes, your...
Mr. Buckland, I must command you to be silent. Now, gentlemen, we shall forget this little episode, eh? And continue with our pleasantries as before. Fill the glasses. A brimmer there, Mr. Buckland. Now, our country, noble England, queen of the waves. And may Pony grow bonier than ever.
Come along, Bush, old boy. One more foot and another does it. You're perfectly all right.
Of course, I'm
perfectly all right. Of course I am.
Of course
we're going, Horatio.
Well, we can't send you back to hospital tonight. You'll have to sleep in your own little bed aboard. I'll take you there.
Good old Horatio. Best of men, that Buckner. Gratitude of the human animal. The zeal from the tribes of protectors.
Never mind it now, Bush. Never mind it. We'll get you into your bed and we'll talk it all over later.
Anyhow, you're the new commander of the Retribution, aren't you?
That's right.
Glad, Horatio. But I shall miss you, and that I shall.
And that was how I came to leave the old renown. With certain regrets, but with high hopes for my new promotion. For days, I was frantically making the prize ship ready for sea under her new colors, organizing the scratch crew who were drafted into her. And then, it seemed too quickly, one gray dawn, we were ready to sail. I was touched to find Bush on hand. He'd borrowed Captain Cogshill's gig and had come across to where my ship lay.
Bush, is it really you? It's still so dark, I can hardly see you.
Oh, it's me all right, sir. That is, it's I.
Well, good to see you.
I'd have been over before, but as you know, we're just back from a practice cruise in the renown.
Yeah, I know.
Lambert couldn't have made a better choice. Oh, I've already told you that, haven't I? But with you as commander, all seems right. After all, a fighting navy needs to fight and needs fighting men to lead it when she does. With the bound, sir. Well, seems funny calling you, sir, for a change.
Well, we're bound for England.
No.
Oh, I'll be back again. A convoy to the Downs, dispatches for the commissioners. Pick up the replies and convoy out again.
You'll get your commission confirmed, sir, while you're there.
I hope so. That is, if they don't make peace with Bonaparte.
Peace? Not very likely. Matter of fact, you may run into the French on your way across the Atlantic.
Yes, sir, I may.
A little lighter now. I must be getting back. You'll sail with the land breeze, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Steal out around the point and then we're gone. Well, I told you, I admire the way that new epaulette sits your shoulder.
Well. Thanks. Well, I'll miss you, Bush.
Quite a night we had together here in Kingston when the prize money from Samana was paid out.
Less said about that, the better now, possibly. At least it didn't send you back to hospital.
Are you ready to up anchor, may I ask, sir?
Yes, up anchor, Coxon. I'll be on the quarterdeck in just a moment.
Well, good luck, sir.
Good luck, Bush. Till we meet again.
This life in the service means many partings. I'm proud to have known you. Don't forget that, will you?
I'll just see you down to the entry port. No, Bush, I shan't forget. Same goes for me. Here, shake hands. Goodbye. And happy sailings wherever they take you. Goodbye, Bush.
Horatio Hornblower, starring Michael Redgrave, is based on the novels by C.S. Forrester. Music composed and conducted by Sidney Torch. Produced by Harry Allen Towers.
Tune into Post Rock Friday from 10 to 11 with your host John P. for the best in post rock, drone, ambient, experimental, and noise.
Tonight, we take pleasure in bringing you Suspense, a weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense.
So, TCM party?
Pass. It's John Wayne's birthday.
Sex and the City marathon?
We dropped Prime, remember?
Well, Then how about...
How about we actually put on something besides sweats and go out somewhere?
Because I need to do my hair?
Try again.
Because I hate people?
Bingo.
Well, so do you.
And I make no bones about it. Humans in general are awful. The most invasive species on the planet.
Yet you want us to go spend the evening with a bunch of random examples that will most likely represent humanity at its worst?
What can I say? I'm complicated.
Complicated isn't the word that came to mind. I'm not answering that.
It must be the delivery guy leaving a package.
I thought we dropped Prime so we'd stop the impulse buying.
We did. I didn't order anything, Miranda. Did you?
No. Why don't you go see what it is?
Why don't you?
Because you're the one who wanted to go out. Well, the hallway is out, right?
Fine. Oh, couch potato sister of mine.
Who's it for?
Doesn't say. Just has Lee on it.
Maybe it's for Mom and Dad.
Not sure. No return address.
Well, does it look like their handwriting?
The label was computer printed.
Does it look like their printer?
I'm opening it.
Wait. What if it's a court summons?
That was random. Some news you want to share?
No. I saw it on CSI.
Which one? There are like 20 of them.
I don't remember.
Well, whichever one it was, the writer got it wrong. Summons aren't sent by mail. They have to be placed in your hand by a sheriff's deputy. So I hear, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you mind if I finish opening this?
Be my guest. What is it?
I have no idea.
Kind of looks like one of those old flip phones.
We'll know in a second.
Wait!
What?
What if it's a bomb?
Oh, come on.
Seriously, what if someone sent us a bomb?
Then trying to decide on Saturday night plans won't be a problem anymore.
But...
See? No boom.
No, nothing. Just one button, that's all it has.
Wanna press it?
Are you crazy?
Do you really need to ask?
Look, we have no idea what this is or who sent it, so let's not do anything rash. Better to just take a minute, think it through.
Blah, blah, blah. I'm pressing it.
No!
See? Nothing.
This device will self-destruct in 10 seconds. 10. Nine, eight,
look what you did! This
seven,
is your fault!
Six,
my fault? Your fault!
Five,
what's the difference?
Four,
we need to get rid of it!
Three.
Too late.
Two,
duck and cover!
One. Just kidding. By pressing the button on this device, you have agreed to take part in an experiment. Please press the button again to continue.
Experiment? We didn't agree to take part in any experiment.
Not unless we're getting paid for it.
Tamara!
The subjects in clinical trials get paid, right?
We don't know that's what this is.
What else would it be?
I don't know.
Then it's as good a guess as any.
Whatever. I'm not gonna be a lab rat.
Money's money. And we both have school loans out the wazoo.
I don't care.
Press.
You do have the option of not continuing to participate in the experiment. If you choose that option, no additional action is required on your part. However, this device will remain active for the duration of the experiment. Do not attempt to dispose of it or to leave the premises. To continue, please press the button again.
This device will remain active for the duration of the experiment. I don't like the sound of that.
Yeah. And do not attempt to dispose of it or to leave the premises? Creepy.
Listen, whoever you are, we didn't ask to be a part of your experiment, and we don't want to be a part of it. Do you hear me? We don't want to be a part of it.
I don't think there's anyone at the other end of that to hear you. It seems more like a set of pre-recorded messages that are queued up when we press the button.
Are you sure?
Got me. I mean, you know as much as I do. But it seems to make sense.
Yeah, you're right. So what do we do then? Just ignore it?
Maybe. But we have no idea what's going on here, or what will happen if we don't press the button and continue with the experiment.
What do you mean?
I mean, we don't know what will happen if we don't continue with the experiment.
Wait, so what you're saying is that I was right. It is a bomb.
What? How did you get that from "we don't know what will happen"? Then again, you could be right.
I knew it. I knew it. I'm calling the police. Hey, give me that.
Call the police and tell them what? That we're being subtly threatened by voice notes? Look, this is probably just some sort of practical joke.
Do you see me laughing?
Do you see me laughing? Just, let's not get all panicky here.
Who's getting panicky?
Sis, your default setting is panicky.
Fine. What do you suggest?
That we go along with the gag and press the button.
Okay.
Tu es le mandarin. Translation, to kill a mandarin. Defined by the Litre Dictionary of 1874 as to commit an evil action in the hope that it will remain unknown. It derives from a parable told in Le Père Goriot by Honoré de Balzac. In it, a question is posed. What would you do if you had the possibility to become instantaneously rich under the sole condition that, by simply willing, without anybody knowing, you would kill a mandarin in China?
Huh?
Shh!
The purpose of this experiment is to prove or disprove the hypothesis presented by Balzac. To continue, please press the button again.
My phone. Never heard it do that before.
That's because it's a deposit alert from your bank.
Then how would you know what it is? Tamara?
What?
I just got a deposit.
I know you did. I'm the one who just told you what that little tone was.
For $10 million.
So did I.
But how? How did whoever get access to our bank accounts?
And how did they know we're both here?
Don't.
$10 million US has just been transferred to your bank account as a pending transaction. However, this transaction will be canceled unless you are an active participant in the experiment. To continue, please press the button again.
Please don't press the button again.
You heard the voice. The only way we'll get to keep the 10 million is to be an active participant in the experiment.
I don't care about the 10 million.
You don't care about money? Did you hit the Powerball while I was in the can or something?
We don't even know that there is any money. For all we know, this is all being done by some 14-year-old hacker.
Well, if that's the case, then we have nothing to fear from going a little further.
You think so, right?
Miranda, we have to find out what's going on. And the only way we're going to get any information is by playing along with the voice.
But this feels... They have our information. They know our whereabouts. This is scaring the crap out of me.
If it gets any worse, we'll stop. Okay?
I want to stop now.
But if we do that, we won't know what's happening.
I'm okay with not knowing.
But I'm not. Don't you remember that ominous little bit at the beginning about how the device would stay active through the duration of the experiment, whether we participated or not? We need information.
But...
Look, I just want to find out what the experiment is.
The $10 million US posted to your bank account as a pending transaction has been finalized. The parameters of the experiment are simple and will be explained momentarily. To continue, please press the button again.
I'm afraid.
So am I. But we have to know.
Yeah. Press it.
Are you sure?
Press it!
The next time you press the button, someone from the other side of the world will die. If you do not press the button, the $10 million U.S. deposit posted to your bank account will be reversed. To continue, please press the button again.
That's it. I'm calling the police.
I'm sorry, but your outgoing calls have been disabled for the duration of the experiment.
What?
Let me try.
I'm sorry, but your outgoing calls have been disabled for the duration of the experiment.
Maybe a text message.
Did it go through?
I'm sorry, but your outgoing text messages have been disabled for the duration of the experiment. How about a tweet to the police department?
I can't get a Wi-Fi signal.
Try your laptop.
I'm not getting any networks!
Not even FBI Surveillance Van 3?
Nothing!
But how can that be?
I don't know! I can't even get my Bluetooth to work half the time!
Maybe if you reboot.
Let's just get out of here!
What? Get chased out of our own home by a jack-in-the-box?
Yes!
No! We need to think this through.
We can do that over drinks at the Hip Kitty.
I thought you had to do your hair before we went out.
Tamara!
Stop yelling! Let's just pull ourselves together and go over what we do know. Which, granted, isn't much.
Okay. Are we agreed that this isn't just the work of some kid in his basement?
Yeah.
So we need to take it seriously. This is an actual experiment, and we're part of it, whether we want to be or not.
Then what are our options? The way I see it, we only have two. Don't press the button, or press the button.
We're not pressing the button. I don't care how much money is involved. We're not murderers.
Anyone who's ever heard us do Total Eclipse of the Heart on karaoke night might disagree.
I'm serious!
Well, what do you want me to say? That we are murderers? That we've both been secretly hoping for an opportunity to kill someone and make a fortune?
No.
Miranda, I don't want to kill someone any more than you do. But before we completely rule out even the possibility of pushing the button, there are two things we have to consider.
What else could we possibly have to consider?
First, that absolutely nothing will happen when we press the button. The experiment will end, and that's it.
You mean it really is just a joke?
I mean that the experiment will have reached a conclusion. Once a choice is made, there's no logical reason for it to continue. Which means there's no logical reason that anyone would actually need to die.
What kind of psychopath would try to make us think we were going to murder someone just to prove some ridiculous hypothesis?
I don't know. What kind of psychopath would actually go ahead and murder someone just to prove some ridiculous hypothesis?
How would we ever even know, one way or another?
If someone had actually died or not? We probably wouldn't.
No, you might be right. You're probably right. But we can't risk it.
I agree. But there is something else to consider. We might not be the only people in the experiment.
What?
What if dozens, hundreds, thousands of people around the world received a package just like ours? And what if they're sitting around right now, trying to make a choice just like we are?
I don't see your point. That wouldn't change our decision at all.
Would it change it if we knew that the device really is a bomb, like you said it was to begin with?
Oh, but I was just being my panicky self. Then again, the voice did say that we shouldn't try to dispose of the device.
And that we shouldn't try to leave the premises. Maybe it's rigged with some sort of proximity sensor that was activated when I pushed the button the first time?
This is nothing but supposition. We don't know that it's a bomb, and we don't know that there are thousands of other people involved in this experiment. And even if there were, that still doesn't make it right for us to push the button and take someone else's life. If there are thousands of others involved, then the odds of us being the ones killed are thousands to one.
But what if there's only one other person involved in the experiment?
And what if they press the button first?
Sis, I don't think we have a choice.
No, there has to be another way.
Well, if there is, you'd better think of it fast. Because every second that passes could be bringing us closer to someone pushing the button on us.
I don't think I can do it.
I can.
Wait.
What?
Did the voice say someone on the other side of the world or someone from the other side of the world?
I don't remember. What's the difference?
The difference? On the other side of the world is someone who lives in Asia. From the other side of the world could mean that as well, but it could also refer to someone who was born there and then moved away.
Like we did, when we all left Taiwan.
Yes.
So if it was from the other side of the world, and one of us pressed the button...
The other might die.
Or maybe both of us. I mean, if the device is a bomb and we're both right here... I'll take it in the bathroom and push the button. You get behind the sofa.
I'm not gonna let you do that.
It's my fault we're in this fix. I'm the one who pressed the stupid button in the first place.
I said I'm not going to let you do that. Besides, we don't even know for sure that it's a bomb. It might be the signal for a sniper in the building across the street to shoot.
My sister. Ever the optimist. So, what do we do? We can't press the button. We can't not press the button.
I don't know. Something just occurred to me, though. No matter how the experiment ends, the results are going to be skewed. Even if we do end up pressing the button, it won't be out of avarice. It will be out of a sense of self-preservation. So whoever went to all this trouble isn't going to get a valid result in any case.
Assuming that they even care about that.
You mean you think the whole press the button and someone dies bit was just a ruse?
Beats me. But if we were able to figure out that they wouldn't get a valid result in 15 minutes, they would certainly have figured it out somewhere during the planning process.
But then, what was the point?
Remember that phrase? Something French. The English translation was, to kill a Mandarin.
Okay.
It meant something like, to do something evil and hope to get away with it.
Something like that, yeah.
Well, maybe that was the point. They wanted to do something evil and get away with it. Making people think they're gonna have to kill a stranger or be killed themselves is pretty evil, right?
Yeah, I think you're reaching here.
You have a better answer?
Sure do. TCM party.
Great. After 3 or 4 hours of the Duke, I might be wanting that bomb to go off.
I'll make the popcorn.
And some Mai Tais. I think I need to get completely snogged.
Well, I can't help with that.
Huh?
I think the word you're looking for is sloshed. Snogged means something else.
That's my steak, Balance. Well, you heard him, dude. Pick it up. Oh, Pilgrim, hold it. I said you, Balance. You pick it up.
The experiment has been completed. This device will self-destruct in 10 seconds.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything!
Eight.
We need to get out of here!
7, 6.
The door!
5.
It's locked!
4, 3, 2, 1.
So ends To Kill the Mandarin by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tonight's story of Suspense. Suspense is produced by Blue Hours Productions and recorded at Melrose Music in Hollywood, California. Tonight's radio drama was written especially for Suspense by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes and suggested by Le Père Joriot by Honoré de Balzac. Hannah Wu was Miranda Lee, Melanie Peng was Tamara Lee, and Lauren Mayfield was The Voice. I'm your host, Damon Krall. Next week at this time, tune in again for another study in Suspense.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
And you are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM. Good evening. My name is Brian McDonald, and that'll be all the time that we have tonight for Scald's Hall. Coming up in a moment, we'll have Canada Post Rock with John. So from all of us here in Vancouver, have a safe and happy week.